All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, October 17th. Someone just said, because as you're all listening to this, our third Thursday Q&A was the night before, was like, it's the third Thursday already? Like, how is this month this far gone?
It has gone by very fast.
It's Halloween's coming too, like barreling towards us.
I know. And it doesn't feel like it, at least mm-hmm. here, because it's mm-mm. so effing hot. But... mm-mm. We're trying to get in the Halloween spirit, and we got some Halloween fun things on the calendar to do just that.
Exactly. We're so excited. First of all, you all know we have our live show, Season of the Witch. You can stream on Kiswi from now through Halloween. But on Patreon, we're doing a bonus content live stream Wednesday, October 22nd at 8 p.m. Central. You can vote now for the Getting Into It tier. There's three options. It's might going to be local haunts, Halloween horror stories, or Am I the Spooky Asshole? So for our Halloween haunts, we were thinking of gathering together some more off the beaten path, silly / ridiculous haunted stories from the areas around us for Halloween horror stories, finding some true stories of terribly gone wrong Halloweens from across the internet. And Am I the Spooky Asshole? Is your asshole spooky? We'll tell you. I don't know. Maybe it is.
We'll let you know if it is.
Vote now until just the day before. I think it's Monday whenever the votes close. So get on there and go register for October 22nd at 8 p.m. Central. And then we've got another fun Halloween thing.
Oh, yeah. On the 30th, Halloween Eve. We're going to have a movie watching party. We're currently deciding what movies we want to have everybody vote on. And we'll have a poll up soon. But that will be at 8 p.m. If you've been waiting to do a free trial for Patreon to see like what it's all about, this would be a good week because you get two big things that otherwise you wouldn't.
Yeah, you can time it just right and be able to attend both things. So go join us on Patreon on October 22nd for our bonus content live stream and on October 30th for our Halloween Eve movie party.
Yes, and there's information on what tiers all of those apply to and everything on Patreon. So just head on over there and I'm looking forward to it. I think
any
of the BOCOs are going to be fun and... the movie watching parties are always a blast. I mean, come on. We're just going to be eating Halloween candy and making jokes. Probably in some kind of silly costume.
Most definitely. If you missed last year, go to our Patreon and watch the replay of Cocaine Werewolf. I think about that movie more often than I should. I probably think of that movie at least once a month, if not every week.
Man.
Like, for whatever reason, it comes on my... because I'm taking a shower, maybe?
That
I don't
one
know.
Was one, in hindsight, maybe we should have screened at a time.
No. It was better that we didn't. And then we found all of the... not just the reviews, but the completely unhinged, obsessive reviewer that was obsessed with the director and reviewed every movie that the director came up with.
I'm still convinced that's the director's alter ego. It's a doctor. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation.
He like wakes up in the morning and is like, another negative review, and he has no recollection that he was up till 4 a.m. Like, I'll show him. Oh man. Well, come out. We're gonna uncover another gem. I know it. That's the magic of these movie watching things, because every year it's something different.
It's always funny to me when I'm like so much content, like media, books, film, everything has been created, and none of us can see all of it. But mm-hmm. when you find something that you never thought you'd see and you didn't know existed, it's always a fun pull. So
that's
also
a good way to put it.
If you've got suggestions over on Patreon of what movie watching party you want us to do, throw some in the comments. We'll see if we get a ton that are, you know, it's a consensus, and I think we're going to have to go with that.
No, absolutely. We want to do what the people want for sure. So, so head over to patreon.com/sinisterhood to check all that out, and we can hang out together. It'll be so fun. In the meantime, though, what a lineup. Beginning with folks heard our call for more military stories in the shadow of our Vanessa Guillen coverage.
Sadly, there's no shortage of them, mm-hmm. which, man, to everyone that has a story that isn't ready to share, our hearts go out to you, because the subject line of this first one, it kind of captures the whole environment at Fort Hood, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Well, this first one is from Marie and is called Fort Hood, A Portal to Hell. Content warning for rape, drugging, and military personnel. Howdy, fellow Texans. My name is Marie. Well, not actually, but we'll go with it. I'm very new to your show. I've only been listening for about 8 months, and I'm so hooked. I have a handful of things I actually would love to send in for Freaky Friday. However, this story was one I never thought I would tell anyone again. So, I was in the shock of my life this morning when I started episode 365. I pressed play without even looking at the title, and my flabbers were fully gasted, hearing the name Fort Hood. I went on a date with an MP from then Fort Hood on my 20th birthday in 2015. He was very strange the whole date. He ordered for me, he made weird comments about a woman's place, and invited me back to his apartment on base. I, freshly 20 and freshly removed from an abusive relationship, was scared to upset him, and I was scared I was being overdramatic. I tried several times to politely decline. Eventually, I agreed to go back to his place just for a drink. Mind you, this conversation also included explicit agreement that nothing sexual would be happening. He even said, I mean, nothing's going to happen. We'll be on base. Someone would hear you. Which, yes, again, looking back, is wild. We got to his gun-filled place. He poured me some wine, and we started watching a show. Yep. The wine he gave me was drugged, and the rest of the evening was, well, as expected. Or worse, maybe, because I didn't expect to remember as much as I unfortunately did. I will spare the details because I feel like I've already said enough. I did not report it at the time, as I was far too scared. 2 years later, I did get the opportunity to stand alongside his next four victims, and it worked. He was actually discharged. Albeit honorably, a shock to no one. Fort Hood was, still is maybe, I don't know, in the business of covering for their people, specifically their men. The disgusting amount of disregard for the five of us was truly horrible to witness. Fort Hood has an incredibly violent history against women, uniformed or not, as I'm sure you are covering in your series about Vanessa. Fort Hood is the closest thing we get to a portal to hell. Chills up your spine and all. I do genuinely believe there is evil at that base coming from the roots. Systemically or supernaturally, I'm not sure. I wish I could listen to these episodes about Vanessa. I know her story well, but I just can't bring myself to do it yet. I'll thank you in advance for always being so gentle with victim stories, just as I know you're being with Vanessa. I love the work y'all do, and I appreciate the sensitivity you always offer. Thank you, witches. Oh, Marie, I am so, so, so sorry that you had to go through that, and then four other women had to go through it. And this sack of shit gets honorably discharged.
Mm-hmm. So you get to keep, you know, benefits and get, go on to a job later on. I'm assuming MP is military police too, yes, which also means that's the person that's in charge of policing is the one that is drugging drinks. And the reddest of flags, you're right, Marie, too. The amount of times in my 20s that I look back and was like, I can't believe that person said that to me. And then I got into a car with them, yeah, or whatever. Definitely. But the phrase, I mean, nothing's going to happen, we'll be on base, someone would hear you, is so chilling, especially given 5 years later, we know what happened on that very same base and that no one heard.
Yeah, or no one reported anything. Yeah. That they heard, if they're protecting their own, like Marie suggests. Yeah. That is a wild thing to say, almost like you've thought of, well, if a girl says she doesn't want to come back, what's something reassuring I can tell her?
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. If I hurt you, I'll get caught. Why would you phrase it? Like, that's literally what he said. If you go, you know, the undertone. So
you wouldn't get so hurt that you'd have to scream because someone would hear you and then I'd get in trouble. So, you know.
Yeah. Nothing is going to happen that you're going to be, you know, able to fight back for because I'll make sure of it because I'm a monster, it sounds like. So a monster that has been given authority, not only military authority, but then policing authority on that base.
Filled his place with guns. Just guns, alcohol, and a rapist. What a combination to have working in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marie, thank you so much for sharing your story. I know, unfortunately, you are not alone. I know that so many can relate to this. And for those that can, like I said, our hearts go out with you. You're not alone. And none of it is ever your fault.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back. I'll tell you what. Anytime I try to wear a push-up bra in the past, I felt like my the cups were all over the place. And
spillage?
Like, it was too much spillage and too much pokage. I don't like a poke on the bottom.
No.
I hate a poke on the side, a poke underneath. I don't like a poke.
You can't deal with the poke. Absolutely not.
I'm not trying to.
I don't want to be poked either, up top or down below. In my drawers as well, but I tell you what doesn't poke me are the lightweight cotton lace boy shorts. They're like the perfect length for a boy short because they're not too long, but they cover your cheeks a bit. But the lace makes them like cute. So you're like, okay yeah. They're very flattering. And most importantly, you feel like you're wearing nothing. They're like butter.
For sure. It's the same with the Fits Everybody boy shorts because I feel like they stay fitted to you and they don't get all stretched out and they definitely don't bunch because I hate when it's bunched up in there and I'm like, did I get a dryer sheet stuck in here?
Is there a sock down there?
It's just terrible other types of underwear. But with the Fits Everybody boy shorts, I really feel like it's buttery soft and that it like holds its shape after wearing and washing it. And it goes really well with my Fits Everybody crossover bralette, which again, I feel like sometimes I'll be like, am I wearing anything right now? And then I'm like, okay, no, I'm good. I'm good.
I can leave the house.
Yeah.
The colors, too, are all great. Mm-hmm. There's, like, neutrals, but then they've got some fun, festive colors in the lineup, too. So there's something for everybody. Shop our favorite bras and underwear at skims.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. While continuing on with the same theme, this next one is from Nicole and is called hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen, Coast Guard horror story and my badass mom. Content warning, all the same stuff that we just talked about. Hello, lovely ladies. I just listened to your most recent Freaky Friday episode where you asked for military experiences. Unfortunately, I have my own tale to tell that aligns with Vanessa Guillen's. I joined the Coast Guard when I was 24 and needed to get away from an abusive relationship. Drastic, I know, but at the time, it was the only thing I could do. Side note, the asshole came all the way to Alaska to track me down and basically move in uninvited. I was stationed in Juneau, a small boat station with around 25-ish members. I made a few friends, or so I thought. Fast forward to July of 2018. My mom came all the way from home, El Paso, Texas, which equated to roughly a full day of travel, to visit me for my birthday. When I picked her up from the airport, excited to see her, she was almost a sickly grayish color. Stunned, I said that she looked like hell and asked if she was okay. She shrugged it off and said she wasn't feeling good and wanted to rest. I said, okay, but if you aren't feeling any better, tomorrow we're going to go to urgent care. She begrudgingly agreed. Tomorrow soon came and she looked worse. Not sure how it was possible, but I knew something was seriously wrong. We went to urgent care where they immediately told us to go to the hospital. At the hospital, they determined that her appendix had exploded and she needed emergency surgery. They also said, how the heck did you travel like this? My mom just said that I needed to see my girl. Seriously, shout out to the strongest, most amazing woman I know. I love you. After several anxiety-inducing hours, she was out, minus bits and pieces of her appendix. She stayed in the hospital for days, most of her trip, and was in the hospital for my birthday, unfortunately. I wanted to just spend the day with her, but she wanted to rest and for me to spend the time with friends. I bought a cupcake and took it to the hospital to light and make a wish with her. We mutually hate singing happy birthday. She encouraged me to go have dinner and hang with friends. I really didn't have many at the time. Alaska truly is slim pickings for a lot of things. I asked my friend, Campbell, who was a hard-for-the-guard douche canoe, if he wanted to hang out, get dinner, and go downtown for some drinks. Seriously, he sucked. He was the type of guy to get a Coast Guard tattoo before joining the Coast Guard. Moving forward, I will refer to him as he who must not be named from here on out, because that fuckhead doesn't deserve any attention. Again, I wish I had never befriended this asshole, but I was so lonely and wanted to hang out with a human outside of work. We went out and got pizza. Everything was fine. We collected our leftovers and went downtown to have a few drinks. I had a few shots and a beer, which normally wouldn't wreck me, but after that, I was toast. Unfortunately, I don't remember much after that. I woke up the next day, naked from the waist down, next to a bag of leftover pizza. I thought it was weird, but chalked it up to too much fun the night before. I didn't think too much about it. I felt like absolute garbage and thought I had the worst hangover of my life. My mom eventually got out of the hospital, and I was lucky enough to take her to our station, where my friend, shout out Bach, you were truly the only good guy at that unit, unfortunately, took her out on our boat and even let her take the helm for a bit. We also got to eat some king crab legs at Tracy's, if you know, you know, and go walk to the Mendenhall Glacier. Overall, despite the whole appendix incident, my mom and I had a great time. She really is such an amazing human. The doctors were shocked she was upright when she came into the hospital, let alone flew cross-country. Those Alaska flights suck. My mom said she was glad it happened with me because my grandmother would have driven her crazy during the healing process trying to help. She was also excited for all the eagles that perched outside of her hospital window, saying, "It's better than shitty El Paso's views." A year and some change later, I was getting out of the Coast Guard, honorably. I was talking to he who must not be named in his car, and I jokingly said I wasn't interested in him. He then said, "Oh, well, you weren't saying that on your birthday." The conversation went on from there, but it's not worth the trauma to share. I was dumbfounded. The weird feeling that I had wasn't just a hangover. It was the lingering weirdness of being sexually assaulted the night before. I knew something was up, but I couldn't remember. Who knows, even if I was drugged, I probably was, because I don't think I've ever fully blacked out after a few drinks and gotten half naked next to a bag of pizza. Enough of the gory details. I end up telling my friend, who we'll call Guy, what happened, and she said she had to tell our command. I really didn't want her to. I just wanted to spend my last couple of weeks in peace, but I also would have done the same for her. Cue the CGIS investigation, a bunch of bullshit and being treated like the girl with the scarlet letter and a liar. I've never felt so uncomfortable in my life. The way everyone at the station was treating me killed me. It was like I was the one who did something wrong. Anywho, the investigation was inconclusive, and he was let off without even a slap on the wrist. I was fuming, sad, enraged, hurt. But I moved on as there wasn't much else I could do. I met my now husband, got into social work at a nonprofit for individuals with developmental disabilities, and even got a puppy. Life was okay, but the lack of justice left a hole in my heart. A few years later, Guy gave me a call out of the blue. She let me know that he who must not be named was getting dishonorably discharged from the Coast Guard. I was elated and asked her why. She told me adultery. Surprise, surprise, he cheated on the woman he married off of TikTok after knowing her for a month. That's another story in itself, but it made me finally feel whole again, knowing that he actually has the scarlet letter on his discharge paperwork. She mentioned that they likely looked at the previous investigation involving me and didn't even give him a chance to stay, rightfully so. I'm extra thankful for the dishonorable piece because he really wanted to be a cop when he got out, and the last thing we need is someone like him with a badge and a gun. All's well that ends well. I never thought karma would catch him, but it finally did. Thanks for all the laughs and important stories. I've attached a picture of my husband and I from our elopement last year. Our wedding plans were destroyed with Hurricane Helene. And a picture of our sweet Ramsey boy, yes, after Gordon, as a palate cleanser and a reminder that things do get better.
Oh, well, look at Ramsey, first of all.
Okay, first of all, before we get into that, Ramsey has seen some things. And I think we all need to check in on Ramsey.
Ramsey's like, what are you looking at, donkey brains? What are you looking at?
It's a British dog. If I put a piece of bread here and here, what have I got? An idiot sandwich.
Man, dude. Ramsey's eyes, it's great. And your elopement looks beautiful. I'm so sorry about your wedding being, destroyed by Hurricane Helene and your plans and all that. But I'm so happy.
Your dress is incredible, as your hubby looks great, too. The scenery, the trees, all of it looks like a magical fairy tale.
You found your happily ever after, but what a road to get there. And I get it, man. When something similar to this happened to me, I was like, oh, that's weird. And it wasn't until going to the doctor and the doctor being like, something happened to you, that you're like, something happened to me. You know, you kind of almost don't even process it, don't realize it. So the fact that he like wanted to joke about it a year later is a lot to hear.
I think that tells us he did not see it as assault and was kind of blaming it on you, which isn't anything new. We've all seen that a million times before. I'm so glad to hear he was dishonorably discharged. That does have to feel like a win in your court. And like we said in the first story, you get dishonorably discharged, you don't get jobs like being a cop. So get on you.
No, for sure. And it's, you know, when you reported it, maybe it kind of, the investigation's inconclusive, but when you see that it is a prior investigation that goes to help bolster this future thing, you're like, it wasn't meaningless. Like, maybe the justice I wanted didn't come at the time I wanted to get, but much like with our prior story with Marie, like the fact that, you know, she's one of many, you're able to kind of stand together and our voices are louder when they're stronger, are louder when they're together.
And all those reports can add up. So I'm so glad that you did report it and that eventually he got his comeuppance. And
for sure.
I hope both these assholes are having the day they deserve wherever they are.
For sure. And that none of us are ever see red lights behind us. And one of these two bozos is the one that walks up to our window. Sinisterhood will be right back. This is an ad by BetterHelp. October 10th is World Mental Health Day, and this year we're saying thank you to therapists.
BetterHelp therapists have helped over 5 million people worldwide on their mental health journeys. That's millions of stories, millions of journeys, and behind everyone is a therapist who showed up, listened, and helped someone take a step forward. Moments in therapy, like the right question, a safe space to cry, or a small win, can change lives. This World Mental Health Day, BetterHelp is honoring those connections and the therapists who make them possible, while showing how easy it is to get guidance from a licensed therapist online with BetterHelp.
I meet with my BetterHelp therapist every Monday morning, sometimes in my office, sometimes on my back porch, but it's lovely to be able to do it remotely. I don't have to go anywhere, and I feel like she and I have built this wonderful rapport and that we can stay in touch even when we don't have therapy sessions. And she definitely has changed my life for the better in multiple different ways. And I realize all the time, like, I need reminders. So having somebody I can keep going to is invaluable. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. You can hear something a lot, or at least I can in therapy, and I just like forget it. And then the next time I hear it, I'm like, you did say that.
We
and
did
then
talk about that.
My I bad. Start my to bad. Hear my therapist's voice in my head in situations, and I'm like, Tara would say XYZ. So that is what I am going to say or do or think. So those reminders start to stick, and then that's when you start to really see the change.
100. Well, you're like, Nikki told me this would happen, and now I know what to do. Thank you.
BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. And our 10-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means we typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from our tailored recs.
This World Mental Health Day, we're celebrating the therapist who've helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start on that journey.
Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/sinister. That's betterhelp.com/sinister. Well, this next one's from Nick, and it's called, What Do an Ice Pick, a TV Tray Table, and a Wood Saw Have in Common? Hi, besties. I've been a longtime listener. Y'all got me through COVID, and I never left. I've been wanting to write in for a while, and have been going back and forth on what story I should tell, until tonight. You see, Freaky Friday episodes are what helped me decompress from my job, and I listen to y'all while I drive home. Tonight, while I was listening to the latest Freaky Friday, my dad called and asked me how my day at work was. I replied, as chaotic as it always is, it started with a guest first thing in the morning asking us to call 911 for them because they were being stalked, and it ended with a guest bringing in a wood saw. Yes, a wood saw. He didn't realize it wasn't allowed. Never mind the multiple no weapons signs. And that's when it dawned on me. I should tell y'all about my job. We can do a dramatic pause right here if you want to guess from the one-day description what my job is. Ready? I'm a public librarian. I have a lot of stories I would love to share about the times I got screamed at for telling guests they can't watch porn on the computers, the times we've had bomb threats. My librarian friend wrote in about that over a year ago. If you're listening, I miss you. And the various weapons guests bring in, ranging from today's wood saw to a TV dinner tray stand to a walking stick with a butter knife taped to the end. Now I'll share some of the more true crime parts of my job. What is my job exactly? I look at it as I am here to ensure everyone in my building has access to the information they want and a safe place to exist, whether it's checking out books, watching YouTube, or just being able to charge their phone. Many days I've come into contact with people that have criminal records. One time I had a guy come in and ask me to help him scan a document he needed to send to his lawyer. He told me he had spent the last 30 years in prison and didn't know how to mess with the scanner. At the moment, I thought to myself, oh shit, what got him 30 years? Another time I had a guy inform me he was a registered sex offender and wanted information on if he was allowed to go to a couple of different places. As I often tell people, I cannot give legal advice, but I can get you the number, office location, or email address of someone who can. I have had coworkers look up people before they were given their name, but right now I am still choosing not to. I want to be able to serve everyone without anything clouding my judgment. Unfortunately, sometimes we also have to deal with violence in the library. I've been lucky so far. The incidents and the locations I've worked involve the guest and not the staff. I've seen arguments and physical fights, including a time a chair was picked up to be used as a weapon. In all the systems I've worked in, there has been at least one stabbing, thankfully no deaths, on property between guests. Sadly, violence against librarians does also happen. I've worked in systems that have had library staff punched. One time, we got a vague email about an incident. We later found out that two staff members were beaten with a metal bookend by a guest. Right now, I still believe in my work, and I'm not burned out yet. But I've also accepted that something violent could happen to me at any moment. I come in contact with people with criminal records every day, but the people I work with are human. I've had to really examine the way I look at humanity and what it means if people can change, how circumstances affect choices made, and what it means to be a, quote, bad person. So often the guests I work with are looked down upon by society for past actions, mental illnesses, or the fact that they might be experiencing homelessness. But for me, they are a human with a need. They're here for information. They are here to be able to get out of the extreme weather. They are here because they want to be able to get on the internet, and I can help them in that moment, and hopefully be one more person that treats them with respect. I know I've painted the public library as what some might see as a scary place, so I want to share some of my wins that keep me going. I've had a teen come back to tell me excitedly they got their CNA after we spent months every day doing homework. I've had teens excited to share their college acceptances with me. I've had guests come in to let us know they got approved for housing and were going to have a place to live. I've seen other guests go through rehab and come in with hope because they were living in a sober living house. And my proudest moment was getting to be a graduation speaker for an 8th grade class because the teens I saw every day petitioned for their principal to invite me to the graduation. The library is a magical place for everyone, and I'd be remiss if I didn't end this with emphasizing the importance, especially right now, of using your local library's resource, or at the very least, getting a library card. They're free. Thank you both for all you do with the podcast and for being a way I can decompress from the daily chaos of my job.
Oh, well, shout out, Nick. We love librarians and libraries. Thank you.
Love a librarian, and it seems like you're an incredible one to be invited. 8th graders, I feel, are some of the scariest people on earth. And if you can be accepted by 8th graders and they want you to come speak at their graduation, you're the coolest librarian.
I mean, truly, if they petition the principal to be like, no, the librarian is going to come and speak with us. Like, I don't care what you say. That is amazing. You are probably a safe space for so many people that you don't even know, not to mention all the ones that you do know, the ones that love to come back and tell you about all their improvements. But it's that's the whole purpose, right? It's a public meeting place for all facets of our society, all people and all the different ways we participate. And it's a great lesson for folks if it's kind of like, well, I want to help people, but, you know, I don't want to like be, it's like, that's the public. I mean, the library is everybody from all strata, and I love going to the library
all
and
walks
it's like
of life.
Just interact, talk to people. Shout out to our Dallas Public Library. Many wonderful staffers, particularly Christina is a very helpful staffer there that's helped me find some really weird niche books for the show that I just would never even expect to have. But we're so blessed to have such a wonderful resource like that. So I echo Nick, as we all do. Go get a library card.
Yeah, for sure. Go get a library card. The kids love it. I mean, it's one of the few places where it is free that's left, that you can go in and get out of the weather, read a book, or charge your phone. And yes, it's a lot of times there are people there that are not in the best place in their life. But what a reward, Nick, to be able to see those same people come back months later and give you happy news and know that you were part of them getting to that place.
Yeah, information is often a bridge. And Nick, you're right there leading people to it, because we really are in a society where if you don't have access to the internet, you can't do a lot of things, apply for housing, food, benefits, whatever. So having a place where anyone can go and not only get access to the stuff, but have somebody there that can teach them how to use it. You know, you take for granted if somebody's been incarcerated for 30 years, they might not really have the best handle on the new technology. So good on you for being a shepherd for our brethren.
Yeah. I was watching a TikTok of a woman who has been incarcerated several times, and she would tell her own stories about inmate she was roomed with. And she she never knew at the time what they were in for. But then on the TikTok, she would talk about them. And then without showing anyone else, she would look up their record of what they'd done. And she was like, holy shit. I can't believe that the person that did that is the same person I shared a cell with that was like nice to me and stuff. I mean, some of them she was like, if I had known that, I would have socked the bitch in her face that if I'd known she'd done something like that. And, you know, a lot of it, really hard stuff involving kids. And at the time, you don't know. But then do you decide to look it up? It sounds like some of your coworkers have and you haven't. So that's interesting. It's just food for thought. If in a position like that, if the curiosity would get the best of you, or if you would be like, you know what? That was the past. We're here now. Does it matter? That's a personal question for everyone.
That's a good question. And from the flip side, as a formerly incarcerated person, that must be a question that you have, right? When you introduce yourself to somebody or they find out you tell them your first and last name. I wonder if they wonder, like, they're probably going to go look me up and, like, you know, find out or whatever. So that is, you know, I'm sure you being able to speak to folks with respect is a huge deal for them.
For sure.
And otherwise an area where people might avert their gaze. So that's why we love the library.
And I do remember your librarian friend sending the one in about the bomb. And I hope that you are listening.
Well, thank you so much, Nick. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this next one is from Christina. And the subject line is a follow-up. Alien snatched me out of my bed. Hi, ladies. I submitted my abduction encounter last January, Freaky Friday 148. And in the episode, you asked if I had any follow-up encounters. I did have one in August of 2023, and here it is. My husband, two children, and I went away to New Hampshire for a week. We love the Lakes region and visit there often. It's peaceful and absolutely beautiful. We decided on a new location, and my husband was in charge of renting our Airbnb. It was a cute little prefab cabin in a wooded area. At the time, I thought it was nice and little else. Fast forward to our arrival. Let's just say my husband has been removed from Airbnb booking duties from here on out. The cabin was on a secluded, winding road deep in the New Hampshire wilds. While it was technically in the Lakes region, we were far removed from any neighbors. I tried to put my anxieties aside, as it really was lovely, and we had the most breathtaking view of the nearby mountains and skyline. We enjoyed campfires and dinner outside, until one night, things became a little odd. We were finishing up our nightly campfire, looking at the stars, gathering up our s'more stuff, and getting the kids inside for baths, when I noticed an odd blinking light just over the crest of the mountain. I watched as it moved in formation, making a square, each light blinking at where a corner would be. It moved quickly and unlike any aircraft you'd typically see in the night sky. I had a weird feeling that I should not be seeing this and felt as though it was getting closer. I quickly gathered up the rest of our items and hurried inside. My husband doesn't believe, and I certainly wasn't going to tell my young children, so I spent a sleepless night in a cold sweat. Since I was already nervous about the cabin, my mind could have been playing tricks, but what makes me feel in my gut that there was something more was that our cabin was about 30 minutes away from the Betty and Barney Hill abduction site. Thanks for sharing this. Love you, ladies, and keep it creepy.
Ooh, you know, there are some things that just husbands shouldn't do. And sometimes sometimes booking an Airbnb is one of them. You know?
No, for sure.
I mean, you got to have a certain type of husband to book a good Airbnb and be able to be like, I trust that you're going to nail this.
Yes. Yeah. And not put us somewhere that's like rusted, secluded, busted out. This was, I've been in an Airbnb. It was with my sister and our other best friend. It was like this, my sister's like, it's great, it's great. And then we get down that winding road and there's just like rusted farm implements, weird rusted out, busted out tree. Now, granted, the place we got inside the place, it was fine, but it was like a weird little pond with a single little rowboat that like a foot paddle boat in it. And I was like, I'm going to get in that way
because they can't get you on water.
you're like, you have to get out there. Yourself.
Stay out there till the morning, till the daylight.
Oh yeah. But when you get out and you're like, oh, let's just see where it's at. Oh no, it's only 30 minutes from where Barney and Betty Hill, one of the most infamous alien abduction stories ever for the past, you know, 100 years, probably. It was in, for those of y'all who don't know, it was in like 1961. It was like a couple, I think they were out driving in rural New Hampshire and claimed that they got abducted. But maybe, man, you were this close, Christina.
Maybe. And maybe was it the same ones you'd had your other experience with? Were they just checking up on you? Was it somebody else? Who knows? You just had to lay there sweating, just like wide-eyed, staring at the ceiling where everybody else slept peacefully around you.
No, it's fine. You're like, I think I saw a UFO. Oh, babe, I don't know. I'm going to go to bed. And it's like, Mommy, what were you talking about? Nothing. It's fine.
This sounds Meanwhile, it's like every night in my house, Mom lays awake just thinking about the worst things possible. Everyone else just snores peacefully.
Everyone's sleeping so soundly. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she's like, we got to put tinfoil on the windows. It's the only thing. But it does. I mean, perhaps it was a revisit or shows that, I don't know, you're marked somehow. They want you to see them, because it is my understanding from other people who've had experiences that unless you want to see it, they're not going to show themselves. But even so, even if you want it, they choose whether to reveal themselves or not. So you like, it's like a handshake situation, and baby, your hand was out and they grasped it. So congrats.
If it makes you feel any better, it also could have been a weird plane. So yeah, that's true. Maybe it like, was just, you know, something strange. So I don't want you to get all freaked out that it's going to, you know, happen again. But also, just do your own Airbnb booking from now on.
Yeah. And check the reviews, honey. Like, please check the reviews and tell me, saw weird things in the trees, but otherwise great. The Keurig machine was awesome. Thanks. Two thumbs up. You're like, wait, I'm sorry, like, you saw what?
The first part. And you're like, what? All I saw was Keurig machine. You're like, and this is why you've been taken off Airbnb duty.
Yeah.
Because we have to have someone that is a stand for attention to detail.
Yes, we need to scrutinize not only the listing, but also the reviews. Well, if you have any other experiences, Christina, let us know.
Yes.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Phil, and the subject line is The Invisible Guests. I used to always consider myself a skeptic when it comes to the supernatural. Maybe what changed my mind was hearing multiple family members relay their own ghostly encounters to me. Or maybe it was driving past Goatman's Bridge for art class each week. Incidentally, this later led me to making an Instagram post about the bridge that a certain podcast commented on about their episode covering it. I've been listening ever since. Whatever it was that got me to believe in the paranormal, my belief was cemented when I moved into my current condo. Back when I first moved in, I was with a partner that would often claim she saw apparitions. According to her stories, these specters seemed to follow her around, including to two different apartments we lived in together. However, I never saw anything that made me think there was any validity to these stories until we moved into the condo. At the time we moved in, the complex was only about 5 years old. I have no clue what was here before it was built. I'm in Florida, so likely what was living on the land prior was a bunch of alligators, snakes, birds, and armadillos. To the best of my knowledge, there were no deaths or other weirdness that happened here that I can blame things on. It started with the animals. Our dog would have extended barking fits while looking at a couch in the living room. The kind of barking you'd hear when there's someone or something around that shouldn't be there. The couch itself wasn't new to him at that point. However, it was easy enough to pass off his behavior as him just being a dog. But it didn't stop there. There would be times when I was sitting in my office with no one else around where I'd see figures walking through the kitchen out of the corner of my eye. I never got a very good look at these figures, just enough to make out a dark gray silhouette of a human form. Whatever they were definitely too tall to be a corgi or a small cat. The majority of the activity happened in the guest bedroom. We kept the door to the room shut most of the time, so the bed wasn't covered in pet hair if someone needed to use it. However, we'd go into the room and things would often be moved or knocked over. During the same time, my partner's ghost sighting seemed to become more frequent. I never got much out of her as to what exactly she was seeing. Honestly, one night when I asked what it was and was told, "There's someone in the corner and I really don't want to tell you what they're doing," it creeped me out enough that I didn't want to ask a whole lot more questions. On several occasions in the middle of the night, the doorbell would ring. Well, not so much ring as screech, holding out the tone for what felt like an eternity. I would run to the door and check outside, finding nobody. I also tested the doorbell and found I couldn't replicate the sound. Even if I held the button down, it would just ring rather than holding out the noise. On multiple occasions, we'd have friends stay over to watch the animals while we were out of town. They both reported individual experiences where late at night, my partner and I would be walking around the place, only for the pet sitters to be very confused the next morning when we were still on vacation. Eventually, my partner and I broke up, and I kind of assumed the apparitions would follow her when she moved out, but no such luck. Not only did my visits from these invisible guests grow more common, but I'd catch glimpses of them inside the condo from outside. I'd be woken up to someone yelling my name or sometimes just screaming from nowhere. So much of this I could write off as the results of overactive imaginations, weird dog behavior, nightmares, electrical issues, and the general unreliability of the human mind. But the event that cemented it for me as all too real was seeing a cup get chucked across a room. This wasn't a cup that got put back on a shelf awkwardly and fell when a neighbor slammed a door. This thing had sat on a shelf in the bathroom for months, undisturbed, and I watched it fly nearly horizontally across the room with force. Over the years, I told my parents about these experiences. One time when they came to visit, they brought a small bottle of holy water with them. I'm not a religious person, but I figured there was no harm in leaving the bottle in the room. To my surprise, the sighting seemed to dry up almost immediately, and I'm not going to argue with the results. I let this story sit a bit before submitting it, and this morning, I saw another item, this time a plastic bust used for sculpting masks, get tossed across my kitchen. So maybe it's time to stock back up on holy water. Phil. Yeah. Phil? Get a super soaker.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Get a super soaker and keep yourself strapped at all times.
All the time. One on each hip and just like a Wild West cowboy with just water guns of holy water.
I can't explain away that.
Yeah, if you're just in the bathroom.
It's easier for me to explain away the other stuff. But if I personally saw that happen, I think that's it for me. I think I leave.
I just kind of leave and don't go back. I have to sell this condo now. I do love Phil that's like, that's fucking crazy. Oh, well, I just won't ask anymore. Like, shout out to Phil to be like, what do you see, babe? And she's like, it's horrors beyond your wildest dreams. You cannot fathom what is going on in the corner. And he's like, "Ooh, all right, good to know. Okay, well, what do you want to watch tonight? It's like, Phil,
what do you think was going on in the corner?
I don't know if it's just like a ghoul that was doing something gross or was like, fucking pointing at you or something. I don't know if I want to know.
I don't know if you're on good terms with this caller, but for our sake, could you please reach out to her and just say, you know, we never have to speak again, but can you just about tell me else? What was going on in the corner and then pass it along to us?
Yeah, just give her our email address and let her just send it to us directly.
Yeah, we'll be the middle person. If y'all don't want to talk, you can just send her an email.
Yeah, plus she sounds like she's got a lot of great stories.
So. Yeah, and then be like, hey, these two women want to talk to you. And
not
then
about
just
me.
Give her our email address.
No, this has nothing to do with our relationship. It's merely the spirits.
No.
So many spirit questions. But I think you were right to get some more holy water. If now things have begun to move again, it's you know what? Get double stick tape and put all your shit down on the shelf with double stick tape.
Dude, maybe.
They can't throw it.
I the scariest thing of this to me is seeing them inside from the outside. That made my heart stop for a moment.
For whatever reason, the idea is like, oh, well, the ghosts are just here to fuck with me. But if you see them from the outside, you're like, no, that's just their home too, it seems like. And like, am I in the way?
What are they doing in there while I'm out here? Probably
what do they do all day?
Seems like they're moving shit around and throwing shit around the house.
Like, we don't like this. We're going to put this over here now. You should not have put this on the shelf. You're like, could you just write me a message in the bathroom mirror? So that's scary too, though. What are we talking about? That's still scary.
Every time I take a shower, every time.
Yeah.
And I'm 46 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I think that when I get out, there's going to be a scary message written across the mirror.
Oh, yeah. Or I worry because I have a glass shower door that me if too. I have my eyes shut and I'm like scrubbing my hair and I open them and it's going to be like, kill, or just like, hello. Yeah.
Be like, or you see it like being written. It's like, yes. Murder. No. And it's just like,
no.
R. And the R just trails off.
No, I'm an Alex Mackett and just sink down the drain. You'd never see me again. I would turn immediately liquid.
I would. Kool-Aid man busts out of that glass door.
Bitch, write a message on this. It's my naked body covered in blood because I smashed the window of the door to get out.
Oh, that my gosh.
Too much, man. Phil, well, let us know if you're if you get some holy water, if that helps. Go and talk to somebody at a shop in your town, whatever's near you. And they might be able to give you some ideas of maybe crystals or I don't know, whatever else, something else that might help.
Yeah.
Because that way your shit's not flying all over the place. It sounds like if you're an artist and you've got a plastic bust that you got to sculpt your masks on, you don't want that flying around.
I wouldn't, no. I think just too, maybe someone can give you some advice on how to make them friendlier. And then maybe y'all can just coexist.
I mean, truly, I mean, a way that you can communicate in a positive way. I have not cracked it, but we purchased at Labyrinth the Buckland's Guide to Spirit Communication, the Raymond Buckland's Guide. And I'm sure you could probably get it at a bookstore near you. So maybe you could use that book and then communicate and be like, you're just be cool and don't fuck with my shit. Like, that's how I feel. If there's anything around here, I'm like, if you wouldn't mind helping me find my AirPods case that I lost and can't find.
Dude.
And I thought of you because I know
it's
you left.
It's been a month, by the way, because I checked the Find My and it's like, we don't have record of these in 5 weeks.
I know, mine was like 6 days ago. And then yesterday I found one of my AirPods in the dryer. So one of them was in my pocket of my tights, which is fair, but I don't know where the case is or the other AirPod is. So I'm completely
hosed.
What
about the one in the dryer?
I have that one, although now I don't remember what I did.
Where's
with it.
Oh, the no, one in the pocket then?
There, that it was. That's how it got into the dryer.
Oh,
is that it
I
was
see.
In my pocket.
Okay,
yeah, yeah. So I put it in my desk drawer. So I just have one, and it's dead, and I can't charge it because the case is missing.
Yeah, no,
so
it's a whole
say,
thing over here too.
House ghost, would you please help me find my AirPods case? And then let's just—I'll give you a treat. I don't know what a ghost wants, but I'll turn this lava lamp on for
what
you or something.
What a ghost wants. What a ghost gets. Wasn't it some
whatever
we read?
Keeps me.
What didn't we read? If you put an empty glass on your kitchen counter, then or maybe upside down or something, that you'll find what you're looking for. Well, I don't know why I haven't done that yet. Because
now we will.
I got to get them back.
I know. I'm struggling. Well, Phil, let us know if you make contact with and become friends with your house spirits, because it sounds like, you know, you have an opportunity here. If they can move things, you could be like, hey, while I'm gone, would you mind wiping the counters down? You know,
absolutely.
Something like Casper style. Well, thanks to Phil for sending that last one in. Sinister Hood will be right back. This last one is from my daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is one that makes mother proud. Please spread the news. Fuck ice. I appreciate the entertainment you provide, but more than that, I appreciate the integrity of both of you that shines through. In light of that, I'm asking you to share my call to action. Ice is the Gestapo. So many of us know that and feel helpless, but we each have our own realm of influence, and we can make a difference in our own way. ICE's reign of terror is causing ripple effects far and wide. Look for them in your realm, and you will find them. My realm of influence includes working at an animal shelter. Our shelter has already taken in 10 plus animals that were left abandoned after I stole their people. I currently have a mama cat who gave birth in my house because ICE took away her people. I'd like to think that her people would be happy to know that their babies are safe with me. That is all I'm able to contribute to the fight right now, but I will keep looking for other ways to help. My call to action is this: use your time, your talent, your resources, and your energy to help in any way you can. Think of things you're passionate about and help there. History has its eyes on us. We cannot sit idle and watch our countrymen suffer.
I couldn't have said it better myself. This comes out on the 17th, tomorrow, Saturday, 10/18. All over the United States is the No Kings protest. You can find an event near you at nokings.org. If you're in Dallas, there's one from noon to 3. And by all accounts, the numbers are staggering of how many people are expected to turn out. Tommy's aunt shared something earlier that I thought was a good reminder of rally reminders, because due to the influx of people, there's going to be a huge influx of police presence and also probably ICE. So keep yourselves safe, look out for each other. And these were the top 10 rally reminders: lead with love, not anger, smile and greet others, lift your voice with positivity, make your sign speak peace, model nonviolence in every action, look out for one another, celebrate families and kids, keep it clean and respectful, be mindful of words and tone, and carry joy beyond the rally. It's hard to do a lot of those things when you're so angry. And, you know, if you don't do those things, I'm not going to judge you, because there's a good chance I participate in a fuck ICE chance or something. But I was wanted to read that just as a reminder of, like, people will look for any reason to arrest you. So, you know, just do with that what you will.
Our government is known to, in the past, send agitators into progressive spaces in order to disrupt and, quite frankly, frame. So if you see a pallet of bricks somewhere and people are like, let's start picking up, you know, being like, don't touch the bricks. I think we all learned a lot from what I think was a lot of people, instigators, I'll say, in the some of the 2020 protests, where perhaps things were not going to be as escalated, but there was a handful of people that did. So I'm very heartened to see the wonderful city of Portland and all of the inflatable characters that have come out to protest ICE. And then I saw the giraffe that was singing a Rod Stewart parody, that the lyrics was, if you want my body and you think I'm sexy, but the lyrics were essentially Trump is on the Epstein list. And he was not standing on ICE property. He wasn't doing anything. And he was just singing that song, and like, six huge guys in like full like tactical gear came and grabbed a man in a giraffe onesie. So I urge you all to be goofy, silly, fun, bring a tambourine, you know, something that's like, you know, a goofy outfit, not quite costumes where you're like going to cover up something and be like accused. But I feel like it is very hard for them to be like, look at these crazy Antifa terrorists. First of all, Antifa, my grandpa was Antifa. He fought in World War II. Me too. And
he
like
fought in World War II.
Yeah, we're the same. Yeah. Great. Me and grandpa, me and papa. But like, it's, what are you talking about? This is like some, you know, Antifa terrorist.
Just means you're against fascism, which most Americans are.
We all are.
And we've literally fought world wars over this. So the rebranding of just calling it Antifa and having it be associated with Hezbollah or ISIS or any of these things is just pure propaganda to scare you, to spread misinformation, and to get us to turn on each other, quite frankly. Wouldn't they love a civil war? Well, let's not give them that.
No, truly. So I feel like Heather Cox Richardson summed it up the other day when she said, you know, in this day and age, if you are afraid of the repercussions of your speech, that, you know, you may be arrested or whatever, you may have your visa rescinded, and you don't exercise your speech, then you really have already lost it. Mm-hmm. And so thinking of, you know, what do we say on the show? Will the administration come for us? Of course, we're like itty bitty teeny tiny on their radar, but you never know what comes in front of somebody, or if we're at the protest and they go, anybody that was at this protest. So we are planning on attending. I hope that our listeners will attend and don't feel afraid to attend. And whenever you decide, oh, okay, well, I'm going to comply in advance, it's when you've kind of lost the fight already. So see nokings.org and where you might be able to meet up with like-minded individuals in your area. And thank you to our auntie for sharing those wonderful tips. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great advice. You know, that's what everybody wants anyway, is peace. We don't want our neighbors to get chased through a fucking CVS and yanked out and put a knee on their back, or their five-year-old zip tied, or spray painting numbers on their doors in an apartment building that, oh, I don't know, just so happens to be owned by a big bank that maybe has ties to the administration and didn't have the ability to evict everybody. So they sent ICE in to fuck the building up. And then they said it was uninhabitable and then kicked everyone out. Like, shit like that is like what we all have got to keep our eyes on. So thank you, Anonymous, for reminding us that, that this is, that we've all got somewhere we can reach to. And thank you for taking care of those animals.
Yeah. Their families would be happy to know that their animals are being taken care of. And it's shit like that, that like these fucking assholes, these masked assholes that refuse to identify themselves for fear of retaliation. Bitch, if you have to cover your face because you're afraid of retaliation, rethink your job choice. Yeah. Why are you out here to a fellow American because somebody gave you $50,000? First of all, insulting bonus, given the amount of money the government has. Like, yes, that sounds like a lot of money to us, but for what you're being asked to do as bounty hunters or military or ex-military, like, just look at yourself in the mirror and have a heart-to-heart with, like, that money will run out. What you do has long-lasting effects far after you're gone. Maybe you like doing it, and that's a whole other can of worms. But there's more of us that want ICE gone than there are that want them here. So if we stick together, the tides shall turn.
I think so. We're still trying to turn the wheel from our live show. It's just a little inch at a
time. It's in progress. It's turning slowly but surely.
But you just hear all these horror stories coming out. And from, like we said, every, you know, neighborhood, Chicago, we see footage of people, like I said, that are citizens getting grabbed. And they go, well, we don't think you look like a citizen. And that's just it, is that it started with migrant friends, and it expanded to Black and brown friends, and it's going to expand. So,
oh, it's already expanded to white women. I've seen several white female journalists being slammed to the ground and white men. So, like, journalists in general aren't safe. I mean, my God, half the Pentagon walked out yesterday because of this insane Hegseth is just, man, we really can't take for granted or, like, look away at how our freedom of speech is being taken away right in front of us. Don't let them minimize what is happening, because it's atrocious and it's like nothing we've ever seen before.
To clarify, the Department of War, formerly known as the Department of Defense, required all journalists to sign what is amounted to a loyalty pledge to say, we won't report anything that you don't want us to report. And it's very reminiscent of what Vladimir Putin has the journalists in Russia sign. And only one American news network, which is the far right pro-Trump network, signed it. And every other news network refused. And
even so they Fox were News thrown refused. Out.
I said, that's Rupert Murdoch thinking, this guy's not going to last forever. Oh, for you know what I mean? So it is unprecedented in terms. And, you know, I think, oh, this is a comedy show. This is a true crime show. This is a... It's kind of insane not to talk about it. Like,
no, truly.
It's really crazy not to. And, like,
you know, I get that people listen to podcasts for a break from stuff, but I also feel like it's kind of a a duty to speak on this with our platform. Like Anonymous says, we all have our own different platforms. This mm-hmm. happens to be the one I have that reaches mm-hmm. the most people. Yeah. I could go out into my front yard with a megaphone. I'm still not going to get as much reach as if I say something here. Am I also going to get hate? Yeah, but fuck it. I don't really care. I would rather go down in history as standing up for what I believe and being proud that I spoke up than being like, I'm not going to talk about this because our ratings are going down.
Yeah. And also, it's like we trade in the business of the criminal justice system and how policy impacts real stories that happen to people. So yeah. It also is related. And these are, in my opinion, horrible crimes against humanity for sure. going on. So it is always fascinating when someone's like, I want like the fun and interesting murder and not like, and it's like,
there's never
Jesus
one.
Christ, listen to yourself.
There's
right?
never like, a fun listen, murder. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
You know what I mean? Like, take a look. And I think if you want to enjoy the violence, fine, but also understand the context in which it is occurring. And like, goddamn, it is occurring right now in our streets in crazy mess. And in my opinion, well, not opinion, my legal opinion, being undocumented in the United States, A, the people that had their documentation, then it was ripped away randomly. That's kind of a change in the rules after you're already on the soil, in my opinion. And also the fact that pretty much it's a civil infraction. And now they're being treated like they're terrorists when mm-hmm. in fact it's somebody that's like got a paperwork thing. So when you're yanking people out of their jobs, it's not because they're not working. When you're yanking people out of hearings, legitimate immigration hearings, it's not because they're doing it the right way. It is because there's a 4'10" person with a 5 head, about a 15 head, if we're going to go with Stephen Miller, who's running the country. I mean, I think our president had a stroke around Labor Day. And I think like Pinky in the Brain, I think Pinky's in there. I think Stephen Miller's in there and others pulling these strings and having it go on. So I think it should concern all Americans. I was concerned when Joe Biden's brain was, you know, Swiss mm-hmm. cheese. I'm concerned with this man. I don't want old people. No offense. I love my elderly friends and relatives, but they shouldn't be in charge of like the nukes. So anyway,
we get to a point where, yeah, it seems like you need to be sharp. And even if you're 70 some on years old and sharp as a tack, that's cool. But if you are a fascist dictator who has done the most horrendous things anyone can do, like, I'm not going to say there's probably nothing he hasn't done. You know, if you wrote a list of all the crimes somebody could do, I bet he checks all of them. We know for a fact he's checked a lot of them.
I was on. I mean, if only we could get those Epstein
if
files.
If only.
Maybe if that duly elected representative could be sworn in 4 days later. Yes. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. And no, that's our government is still shut down, by the way, which I'm like, then you know what? I'm not paying for government shit.
That's what I said. Fuck it. Filed my tax return and I was like, now I'm going to pay you? This is a slap in the face.
It is.
This is a slap in the face.
It's a slap in the face to the military troops that are not getting paid, that are being deployed this weekend for this protest, that are having to work overtime.
And federal workers who have been laid off, perhaps permanently. Truly. It is. And by the way, the whole healthcare for illegals, it's made up. It's not true. It's an emergency room. I don't care where you're from. If you're here and a doctor is nearby and you're bleeding out, the doctor wants to help. And they don't go like, but let me make sure your papers are in order first. Like,
they
just let them
shouldn't.
Help you if you're bleeding out. I think that's like a normal, humane thing to do. But I'm not a psychopath. So anyway, I'll see you all at the No Kings protest on Saturday.
Yeah, everyone show up, show out, stay safe, and send us your stories afterwards if you have any from the protest. It will be interesting to hear how different cities go and, mm-hmm. You know, us being in what they call a red state versus up north where it's blue. You know, I think everybody's kind of experiencing these different realities based on where they live. But also our brains are being broken because we have to go on about our daily lives every day.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that all of this is happening, and it's like, okay, but we're still planning the Halloween party at such and such's house, right? And you're like, yeah, and this week we've got this. So, like, life doesn't stop.
No.
And it's weird to go about it. And it's really, like, surreal. I feel like I did when we first went into lockdown. Like, how could this actually be happening? But it is, and I'm kind of I am looking forward to the protest. But one of the reasons is to like kind of cement the reality more, like for me in this area of like what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. No, it truly is a moment of, I died and this must be a horrible nightmare, right? Like, this is crazy, especially when people ask like, hey, this and this law, this is, I'm like, I don't know anymore, man. We had the Voter Rights Act since 1965, the Voting Rights Act. And now it sounds like that's going to go away completely. So keep your eyes peeled for that. So it's one of those where, you know, after a lot of these big decisions, you're just like, oh, I don't know fucking anything. I'm glad I went to law school to just go like, oh, yeah, all that stuff you studied, shred it. Doesn't matter. It's made up. So
I think so many people feel like that. Like all the things we've been taught, we just throw out the window now because people can do the most heinous crimes and be pardoned, or, you know, anyone can just be assassinated. So there's that.
Yeah. And
I could give a TED talk on that whole thing. I won't right now, but
what a debacle.
I don't let them fool you. Like, it's so much of it is so transparent, and they're counting on the public to just blindly trust, not ask questions, especially if someone is in MAGA. And it's fucked, man. Like, the emails we get about people that have family members that are deeply entrenched and in QAnon and stuff. And like, I'm sorry, because they are being blindly lied to and given horrible information that is then contributing to them making horrible decisions and conclusions. And it's very sad. Period. Yeah.
No, period. It is very sad. Well, it was just this week, the 85th anniversary of the Charlie Chaplin film, where he dressed up as and made his impassioned speech. And 85 years ago, and if you just go and watch the speech from, I guess it's called The Great Dictator, go watch just the Charlie Chaplin's, his speech there at the end. It says basically everything I think we're currently saying, which is, you know, you love your neighbor at the end of the day. You don't want to be under somebody's thumb like this. And we're all we are all a lot more alike than we are different.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you see shit going on, like I saw this Karen at some baseball game call a Hispanic man in front of her. She was irritated with him. And then she said to the person next to her, let's just call ICE.
Mm-mm,
and
bitch,
he goes, lady, I'm a veteran. I've served twice. And her face was just like, but she still went on with it. And it's that should not become a thing adults are using to bully one another, because you know who listens to all those adults? All the kids around. And like, we don't, it's already so fucked up that like Ella knows what ICE is. She, I mean, we had to have a conversation because she saw somebody with a sign that said, it didn't say, I don't know if it said fuck ICE, but something like that, you know? And like, also, so many people have to have those conversations with their kids because their friends' parents are getting yanked out of their car and carpool line and zip tied and taken away. So you got to say something.
No, truly. I think the more privilege you have, and recognizing a lot of times it's appearance privilege, you know, I'm like, I am a white lady lawyer. Like, I have a lot of privilege and I'm willing to put my body out there. So I think Anonymous said it best, like, what's your realm of control? And educating your kids to be good citizens and kind humans is a hugely political act, and to love their neighbors and their friends, and to be that friend that's the friend to everybody is
truly
a huge part.
Well, thank you to everybody that sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Speaking of freaky, you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online, maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see, We'll send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email and it's all fun and games from there.
Hell yeah, it is.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
And like we said up at the top, we've got a lot of fun things going on in October, including October 22nd at 8 p.m. Central. We have our bonus content live stream, and October 30th at 8 p.m. we are going to have our movie party watch along. So now, like Christy said, now is the time for the free trial. That is where you join for a week at the highest tier. If you want to check out all the perks and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around, there's a ton to get, including 1 month free when you do an annual membership. And what else? They get
ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content. Also, for signing up as a free member, you get monthly audio bonus content sent to you and a whole other backlog of free content. You get mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists. And I don't know if there's even tickets left, but there's information for Crime Wave at Sea 2025. I've been getting the text trying to get all my themed outfits together. We got a glow party. We got a murder at the Met Gala themed party one night.
Oh, it's going to be a good time. Mm-hmm. We're going to hang out with Henry and Ed from Last Podcast Side Stories, Dan and Linz from Scared to Death, and so many more friends on the ship, plus all of you. And we get to do all the fun stuff that a cruise has got going on, which is eating, drinking, seeing stuff. So yeah. I can't wait.
Get my toesies in some sand.
Hell yeah. You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now, from happy birthday to birth announcements to congrats on whatever. We would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Not only is it a very thoughtful gift, but it's perfect for when you don't want to deal with the hassles of shopping or you're looking for a last minute gift. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the World Wide Web at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinister.